We are His mouthpiece. We're His ears. We're His heartbeat. Come on, somebody. After He had walked with them for quite a while, 7 miles, 3 hours. The Bible says that the day was far spent. Sun was setting. It was getting dark. Now, I don't know about you. I don't walk on I-95 after dark. I'm certainly not going to walk on a wilderness road. Wild animals, thieves and bandits. This is an unsafe. He just keeps on walking with them all the way to their house. And then He doesn't impose Himself on them. It's a long walk back to Jerusalem. It's a long walk back to Nazareth. It's a long walk back to the paths that Jesus normally walks. And the Bible says in Luke 24 that He acted as though He would keep walking past their house. Have a good day. I've enjoyed talking with you. The Bible says something was burning inside of them. And they said, "Hey! Come! Stay with us!" In fact, I want to read it. And I'm going to do it in the New Living. It's an easy translation. Verses 28 through 31. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if He were going on. But they begged Him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So He went home with them. As they sat down to eat, He took their bread and He blessed it. Then He broke the bread and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open and they recognized Him. And at that moment, He disappeared. I don't know what it was for you. I don't know where it was in your journey. I don't know if it was the middle of the night, midnight hour, everybody else in the house asleep. If it was at work, if it was in a hospital in a moment of sickness. I don't know where it was for you. It could have been in rehab. It could have been in jail. Everybody's got a different story. But there was a moment when a light bulb came on. And it wasn't just somebody telling you about the Bible anymore. It wasn't somebody nagging you about sin and so forth and the other. It was Jesus. Jesus is talking to me. Jesus is being revealed to me. That 7 mile walk, that 3 hour walk is called communion. Everybody say communion. Communion. Communion isn't bread and a sip of wine. Communion is time together in intimacy. And that's what Christ did with those two until they were at a point where they were ready for revelation. And what showed that they were ready? They said, "Come on in our house." There was a point when you said, I don't ever want to walk without You again, Jesus. Come on, somebody. I don't ever want to walk this. I know this path well, but I don't want to walk it by myself anymore. Does anybody remember that day? And if you're acting like you're going to walk on, please don't. Come and live inside of me. Fill me up with Your presence. Fill me up with Your Spirit, God. I don't understand who You are. I don't understand what You do. All I know is this. Don't leave. Stay with me. Dwell in me. And He did. And it was in that moment. You remember the last time He broke bread? It was the Last Supper. You remember? He's with the 12. He hasn't died on the cross yet. He breaks the bread and said, "This is My body." It was at that very moment with two. He broke the bread and they went, "It's Jesus." And then He gave the bread to them to eat. He's not content to be with you. He's not content to just have communion. He wants to live inside you. He wants to dwell inside you. Whether you consume it like bread or you receive it like the Holy Spirit, He has to be in you. He disappears. It's late. They've already walked 7 miles. It's been a long day. And might I add, they've been very sad. Sadness, sorrow, and mourning will take it out of you, won't it? They ain't got nothing left to give. There's no more tears to cry. I'm almost dehydrated from crying. I've been hopeless this whole journey, and before, when I heard they killed Jesus, my master, felt alone. In fact, they told Jesus, "We had thought, Sister Vaughn, we had thought that he would be the Messiah." They had given up hope. They were referring to him as if he used to be their Messiah. Folks, I don't care if you've been walking this path for 50 years or you just got on this train yesterday. There comes times when we begin to be disappointed and disillusioned and begin to say, "Where is our God?" He's walking next to you. So there they are, wiped out, tired, mourning, alone, but they've got revelation. All they've got different. You understand, the Holy Ghost has not been poured out yet. That's Acts chapter 2. They have no difference except they've got the revelation of Jesus. He's alive. And that revelation all by itself makes them look at the two of each other and say, "We've got to go back to Jerusalem right now." I can almost hear the other one go, "Wait a second. That's another 7 mile walk, bro. That's 3 more hours. It's dangerous out there." Did not our hearts burn within us as he walked and talked with us? We must go back to Jerusalem and tell them about this. And what do? They get right back up. Probably been showered, probably got their pajamas on, already got the candles lit, turn down services done, chocolate mint on the pillow. It's time to turn in. No, we've got somewhere to be. We don't know why. We don't understand what this is about. All we know is our heart is burning within us. And they run back to Jerusalem. God knows what time they got there, but they found the 11. Judas was dead at this point. So the 11 are remaining. And they say, "You're not going to believe it. We saw Jesus." And Peter and the boys are like, "Yeah, we know. We saw him too." And then bam, he walks right through the wall. How are y'all doing? I'm going to tell you something right now. All you got to do for Jesus to show up in the house is start talking about him. They were talking about him on that path. Now they were talking sad and they were talking depressed, but they were still talking about Jesus. He said, "I think I hear somebody talking about me." When they show up in this house, they're sharing testimonies. He said, "I don't care if you're sad or you're happy. I hear somebody talking about me." He showed up. This is why I'm telling you, God's going to show up in your living room. He's going to show up in your house. He's going to show up in your life. You just have to share it. You have to testify. Not in church to people who already know. "My God, I want to share the goodness of the Lord." Shut up. Go outside and tell somebody that don't know him. "I already know how good he is. I already know he's a healer. I already know he's a deliverer. I already know he's a savior." Why don't you tell someone that doesn't know? See, they didn't understand that yet. They just were burning inside. They went back and told the folks that already knew. Hey, that's where it starts. Just get up off your seat. Tell somebody. Get started. But what happens when they get started? Oh, man. Verse 47 in the New Living, same chapter. Jesus is talking here. They're asking him questions, and he says, "It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." Prior to verse 47, because I don't have time to read the whole book of Luke to you right now, I'm not going to do that. I'm speaking a word so that there's faith in you, because God's about to manifest in this place. And your faith is not ready without the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's a simple equation. I'm just depositing nuggets of faith right now, and then God's going to do something in your life. But I don't have time to read the whole chapter. Jesus, in verses 44, 5, and 6, he said, Isaiah taught y'all. Didn't y'all remember Sunday school? He's talking to the 12, the 11, and he's talking to these two. Do y'all remember Sunday school? Good Jewish Sunday school. How Isaiah said 800 years before I even showed up that the Messiah was not only going to be a king, but he was also going to be a sacrifice. Why are y'all acting surprised? I know you wanted Superman in a red cape to come save you. Somebody that was bulletproof. Somebody that no one could touch, harm, or hurt. Someone that could spin the world backwards and forward and bring back time. But I chose to come as a baby in a manger. I chose to come of no reputation. I chose to come without a throne and without a crown. I chose to let them put me on a cross. And now all of a sudden you're shocked? Don't you remember that Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions? He was bruised for our iniquities? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. How in the world do you think the Messiah got beat? I am the Messiah. I just have to both be king and sacrifice. I know you want a hero, but believe it or not, I am your hero. I was as much on your hero on the cross as I was your hero when I came out of the tomb, because I took your place on the cross and I gave you the hope of new life in the tomb. He reveals to him, watch. He said, but it wasn't just that I had to die and get buried and resurrect. That's not all Isaiah said. Watch. It was also written, verse 47, that this message would be proclaimed. Put that up there for me, Brother Jeff. Thank you. It was also written that this message, what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Everybody shout, the gospel.
The gospel.
It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations. Now, wait a second. Jesus is going to disappear in less than 40 days. So who, pray tell, is supposed to go to every nation? He's gone. Who's he talking to? They've got to go to every nation. They've got to go to every people. But it's got to start in Jerusalem. And then it's going to go to Judea. And then it's going to go to Samaria. And then it'll go Derbe and Antioch and Lystra. And then it'll go Asia Minor. And the world will be turned upside down with this gospel. But it's going to be you. He is giving them, hear me, a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, a commission. He is giving them their life's purpose. Here's the thing. We ought to be focusing on salvation. We ought to be telling people they got to be saved. Look, I'm not going to spend much time here, but let me be clear. There is a hell. And there is a heaven. They are literal places. They're not figures of imagination. They're not fantasy land. They're not Mount Olympus. Oh, and by the way, if y'all think heaven's going to be boring, you've been watching too much Hollywood. Heaven is not a bunch of clouds with chubby people in togas playing harps. No. The earth was made in the likeness of heaven. We are the image of heaven, except now we have become, because of sin, the shadow of heaven. Can you imagine the earth with no darkness? Can you imagine the earth with no erosion? Can you imagine the earth with no pollution? Can you imagine the earth without pestilence, without plague, without disease? All of these negative things that are eating away at this beautiful planet came because of the sin of man. The original creation that God made, hear me now, was a mirror image of that beautiful place we call heaven. Heaven ain't gonna be boring. Heaven is gonna rock and roll. Heaven is going to be an amazing blast. Heaven is going to be exciting. It's going to be an adventure. It's real. And people need to know it's real. And we need to tell them, in order to get there, you have to be saved from sin and from this earth. And sadly, we have to also tell them about that other place. It's not popular. You say, oh, how do you know it's not popular? Christian research proves year after year. George Barna Research, non-denominational, has no axe to grind or nothing to prove, just statistical analysis. George Barna Research produced in their surveys that less than 17% of churches preach about hell at all. Less than 17, not 70, 17, 1-7. And a survey of pastors that asked how many sermons that they ever talk or teach or preach about hell, less than 3% of pastors preached one time about hell in the calendar year. You say, well, good. No, I don't preach about hell like I ought to. Oh, you're supposed to be a hellfire and brimstone preacher? You're missing it. I'm not talking about my loudness. I'm talking about noise. I'm certainly not talking about judgment, because I'm going to tell you something. If you really believe in hell, you would never talk like you want somebody to go there. Ain't nobody celebrating hell. But it is real. And we do need to preach salvation. But hear me. In our fervor to preach salvation to people, in our fervor to say, you need to repent of your sins, they do. They need to be baptized in Jesus' name, and yes, they do. They need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, they do. But you know what? They also need a purpose. And if Jesus is our example, does anybody believe Jesus is our example? Here he is, after the resurrection, with an opportunity to teach the 11 and these two disciples how this is supposed to work. And he says, let me show y'all instead of tell you. Here's the way we lead people. We walk with them on a road that we don't like to walk. Not my road. Hey, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to our church? No, that's the rear end backwards approach that Christianity has been taking for too long. Come to our church. Are you kidding me? One building on one corner on one day of one week at one time. They have jobs. They have sicknesses. They have diseases. They have afflictions. They have families. They have division in their home. And you're telling them, if you can't make it at 10:30 on Sunday, I'm sorry. You better go to them. You better find a path. One that you don't normally walk. One that you're not normally comfortable with. Oh, you see where I'm going now, don't you? Before Jesus ever talked to them about the Holy Ghost, and we'll see it in a minute, he talked to them about their purpose. Oh, are you backing off on the essentiality of the Holy Ghost? You better know me better than that. Holy Ghost is absolutely essential to be saved. But you know what else it's essential to? To do anything for God. You can't fulfill his purpose. You can't fulfill his kingdom or his mission unless you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You might do some good deeds, but you won't do any God deeds. He tells them the purpose first. Verse 47, he says, my gospel has got to be declared in all the earth. And this is y'all's job. He's looking. There's nobody can hide. How many of y'all like being in a crowd sometimes so you can kind of blend in? I do. You don't want to be. Remember that big class in college? Hopefully the teacher won't call me. Hate being a class of 10 people. You're going to get called. He's sitting there with 13 folks. Nobody's hiding. And he's like, listen. The gospel has got to be preached in all the world. And they're going, there's only 13 of us, Lord. He said, that's fixing to change. And I'll tell you why. Go to verse 48. And behold, I send the promise of my Father. Look where it's at. It's after the purpose. He didn't even talk to them about the Holy Ghost until he reveals to them, I'm calling you to a job. There ain't no way you can do it by yourself. Go back. Let's look in context. Go back to 47. Go back to 47. It was also written, Jesus talking, that this message, somebody say the gospel, would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Quote, there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That is their purpose. Preach the gospel, proclaim the message with authority in his name everywhere. That's your purpose. That's why you're sitting in this room. That's why Jesus came to meet with you today. You have a purpose. Now, go to verse 48. You are witnesses of all these things. Verse 49. Witnesses doesn't mean you saw it. Witnesses means you got to open your mouth and tell it. He's given them their purpose. And then he says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father. Just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes. Why? Because you can't do nothing without my Spirit. Don't go off and try to get to the rest of the world. Don't get started. I know you're excited. I know your hearts are burning within you. I know revelation has been important to you. Hear me. If you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, nobody is taking away what is experienced in your life up until now. It has been powerful to believe in God. It is powerful to repent and ask forgiveness. It is powerful to have been baptized in His name. But you hear me. Don't you pick up a hammer. Don't you pick up a Bible. Don't you pick up a microphone. Don't you pick up a mission or a task or a responsibility without that Holy Ghost. You have a purpose. Everybody say, I have a purpose. But you also have a promise. Until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Put that slide, that title slide up there for me if you can. This church, this promise project, this service is about a path, a purpose, and a promise. You can't have any of them without the other. I'm sorry. If you won't pick up the purpose, then you're standing still on the path. Paths were not made for standing. Paths were made for walking. Many of us, just out of ignorance, we didn't know any better. We thought the job was to get saved and sit our behind on the pew. That's because people preached it to us that way. Instead of saying to a 10-year-old, young man, you have a purpose. I want every child in this house that is 12 and under to stand. Every child 12 and under, stand right now, quickly. Mom and dads, help us. Yes, that's right. Hold them babies up too. Even the infants. Eli, stand up. You're too big for granddaddy to be holding you behind. Stand up. I'll help granddaddy every now and then. Perfect, buddy. Thank you. Eli, look at me, buddy. You have a purpose, son. God has called you. God himself has called you. You have a purpose in your life. Look at me, kids. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. It's a destiny. Now look, you might be a rocket scientist one day because you're so smart. Don't sit down quite yet. You might be some Olympic athlete one day, but look at me carefully. But that ain't your purpose. Oh, somebody hear me, because a coach is going to lie to you and tell you that's your purpose. American Idol is going to lie to you and tell you that that's your purpose. Come on, somebody that wants to make some money off of you is going to tell you that's your purpose. But I'm here to tell you what your purpose is. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. You didn't just get the Holy Ghost to get away from hell. You got the Holy Ghost to release the gospel and the authority. I wish somebody would help me and heal and deliver and bring salvation. Have a seat, kids. Thank you. You're beautiful. I'm grateful. I can't even fathom the sacrifice and the giving that you've made to the Promise Project over the last 3 years. Thank God for offerings and sacrifices. That's great. But hear me. Look at me. Your check ain't gonna cut it. Because He gave you more than money. He gave you time. And He gave you talent. And He gave you His Holy Spirit. There's a purpose. This ain't the United Way. We're only a non-profit because the federal government requires us to call ourselves that. We are the Church of the Living God. And we have a purpose. We're not a charity. We're not a service club. We're not an organization that does good deeds in the earth. We are the Church of the Most High God. And writing a check might work for the United Way, but you're going to have to put your body on the altar to be in the church. Because this thing is about being on a path. A path means I started somewhere, but I'm not where I began. How many of y'all will testify and tell the truth? I'm not where I should be, but I sure am not where I used to be. So we have to be moving forward. Hey, I got great news. He's walking that path with you. But here's the thing. Now you're the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, you're the body of Christ. Now look at me. Look back at me. Now you have to walk with somebody. Your purpose is to walk on that path with somebody just like Jesus walked with you. Just like Jesus walked with you. Look, it ain't a paved road. That looks a lot like the Emmaus area. It's probably a little bit cleaner and nicer than the road to Emmaus. But you know what? The same road that was leading them to Emmaus and to wild animals and darkness and difficulty and depression, if you turn around and walk the other way, it leads you to Jerusalem, where the day of Pentecost is going to happen. All you got to do is turn around on the wall. If you're walking the wrong way on this path, you don't have to go get a map or GPS. Just turn your behind around. Walk the other way. You say, I want to keep walking this way. Peace. Jesus don't walk that way past Emmaus. Now He'll walk back with you to your purpose and to your promise. But He's not going to walk to your goal. Huh? I know we try to celebrate these athletes and these musicians that after they've got their Grammy Awards and their MVPs and all their trophies, they ain't talked to Jesus in 5-6 years or more. But because they know mama slap them upside the back of the head if they get on an interview and don't say, and I give all glory and honor to Jesus Christ. They throw out that little bone to Jesus and everybody like, oh, wasn't that nice how He gave Jesus praise? Jesus ain't nothing to do with that touchdown. You hear me? Look here. Jesus had nothing to do with a touchdown. I'll prove it to you in the Bible. You want to talk to me later. I ain't got time right now. Well, they're just at least giving God glory. Whatever. Whatever. Why don't you give God a day instead of giving Him some fake glory? Why don't you give Him some time? Why don't you give Him some talent? Why don't you place Him as a priority? No, because my number one goal, my purpose was to be a star athlete. My purpose was to be a celebrity. My purpose was to be a businessman. My purpose was to have money and retirement and programs and homes and boats. And my purpose, see, I got to lay my purpose down. Because on that path, He takes you to His purpose. And that's why you have to have the Holy Ghost. Because look here, ain't nobody in this room better than anybody else. I don't want His purpose in my flesh. Stop kidding ourselves. He's such a good Christian. He wants to do what Jesus... Ain't no human being on the planet that every day, every moment wants to do what Jesus wants. Sometimes Jesus wants you to go to the hospital at 2:30 in the morning. I'll tell you right now. My flesh don't want to go to the hospital at 2:30 in the morning. But the Holy Ghost does. It's the Holy Ghost in me. It's not me. It's the Holy Ghost in you. Because you think, oh, there ain't no way I can step up to that purpose. You're right. Welcome to the club. Thank you for being honest. We can't step up to this purpose without the Holy Ghost. But once He puts His Spirit in us, we can fulfill His purpose. He reveals our purpose. He reveals your calling. I'm revealing it to people right now who have never been filled with the Holy Spirit. You're thinking, why is he talking to me about a purpose? Because you're called to have one. He will put his Spirit in you to accomplish it. So how does this play out? So, Pastor, we're supporting the Promise Project in our giving. Thank you. Praise God. Please don't stop, because we have to purchase things to accomplish this mission. However, I need you to understand in very brass tacks what's coming. And if you'll join us on Wednesday nights this month and next month, you'll begin to see details about what share points are going to look like in 2019 come this summer. We've already got share points, but this is going to be exponential. This is going to be the whole church, and it's not going to be monthly. It's going to be weekly. This is a big cultural change, church. This is why I'm meeting with the elders and the pastoral staff every Monday for prayer, because you can't do this stuff by announcements and videos and slide screens. It's got to be something that the Holy Ghost brings to pass. But that requires you to submit your will, and you can't submit to something that you don't know. So I'm revealing it to you, and now the ball's going to be in your court to choose. Am I going to support it with my finance, or am I going to let other people do it? Am I going to support it with my time and my effort and my energy, or am I going to fold my arms and say, I like church the way it used to be? Well, then stay your tail home. Fine. We are the church. If you're not a part of this purpose, then I don't know what to tell you. We love you. We will minister to you. But if we're going to get, if I get attitude and spirit, that I don't even need to, I'm not worried. I'm not going to be troubled by it. I'm not going to schedule an appointment to sit down. Now listen, sweetheart, are you sure you don't love? I'm going to say, peace, love you. Call me when you need me. I'm not going to chase anybody. This is the will of God. That's all I need to know. And those that submit their will to the will of God will be in the will of God as well. And I'll work, and the leaders will work, and God will work with those who surrender their will to him. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be what you're used to, but it is going to be right. I got seven amens, a couple of grunts, a few people looking at me like, we'll see. That's all right. Let me get to brass tacks. Some of you are going to be called to be ministers in these SharePoints. Some of you are going to be called to be deacons in these SharePoints. Some of you are going to be called to be core team members. That includes hosts who open their homes, communion coordinators that provide the communion for the meeting. Often that will be actual communion, bread and juice. Often it will be snacks, salty and sweet. Maybe fried. There will be a prayer coordinator in every group that is checking the needs of everybody in that group for prayer, both in person and at their home, in the hospital, and those that we just found about secondhand, and lead and direct us in prayer. There will be Bible study teachers in every group that will share the gospel to every willing heart that will hear. There will be music coordinators in every one of these groups, because we will worship in these share points, in music and in other forms. There will be peer support counselors in every group, so that when people come into the group that have problems that religion will not fix, which, by the way, is every problem, because religion don't fix nothing, but Jesus can fix anything. But sometimes we have to have someone that'll just walk on the path with us. Are you with me? A peer support person walks on the path with someone. Whether if they're crawling, they'll crawl with them. If they're walking, they'll walk with them. If they're running, hey, I'll run with you. Just don't go backwards. There'll be a peer support person in every group. And there will be caregivers in every group. There will be a care minister in every group to minister to the needs of those in that group, and to, listen to me, minister to the needs of those in the neighborhood and the community surrounding. Because here's the deal. I've got the physical map in my office, but I haven't got it digital to put it up on the wall yet. But we have a record of where everybody in this church lives on a map with stickers. We know where the concentrations are geographically of where we live. We also know the homes that we believe could sustain hosting. And we've got stickers on where those homes are as well. We haven't talked to you yet, so that don't mean nothing. It's just a sticker. And I ain't gonna force nobody to do anything. But we will approach you. And we will ask you. And we will be rotating homes. One home will host for a month. A different home in that region will host for the next month. A different home will host on the next month. And then we'll rotate back through. So ministers are like, oh, please don't call any ministers because that means I'm going to have to open my home. No. No. Hosting is just open your home and hospitality. That's it. All of these roles are going to require people to say, I'm not too busy to walk on a path with someone. I'm not too focused on my other goals and objectives to take on the purpose of Jesus Christ. This Promise Project is more than pieces of paper and pledges that you're given. This is going to be what you write on your heart. This year, you will know in a shadow of it, you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is not about buildings. We have to build things to accommodate what's coming. Why are we doing these things to the local building and to that, to the building that will be built behind this? I'll tell you why. Because when share points become preaching points and preaching points become church points, those little gatherings of people can't afford places to get together. Do you understand? They can't afford to rent buildings. They can't afford to build buildings. Come here. We're here for you. We need to have training? Don't worry about it. Come here. We got training classrooms for you. You want to have a gathering for your young people? You want to have a gathering for your church family? Come here. We got an open, wide facility where you can come. We're doing training. We're doing education. We're doing fellowship. And then every so often, we're going to have what we call unity services. And every one of these share points and every one of these preaching points, hear me now, who will have people in them that have never come to this building. We're not going to tell them to come to this building. We'll invite them. But who cares? I don't care if you baptize them in a bathtub at somebody's house, in a swimming pool in the backyard. But every so often we'll have unity services where all of these groups will gather in one place. We better get some chairs. And we're going to come over here and put a spread of food out for them to eat. We better have some room for tables, because right now you can't even have a baby shower in building 3. You can't. It's too small. We haven't been able to fellowship on campus, Sister Vaughn, for years. We got to make the launch pad ready so that the missions can continue to be launched. We will train, we will equip, we will fellowship, and we will empower on this property. But we will launch from this pad to this entire region. And this will be a centerpiece where people can come and they don't have no debt and they don't have no rent and they don't have to beg, borrow, and steal and hawk their lives and hawk their children's lives to try to get some nice place. No. We'll just keep on growing. We'll move to this building when it needs to move. We'll move to that building when it needs to move. If we have to build something, we'll build it then. We're not going to go into debt. We're not going to be begging people for money every week. We're not going to get up here and make this whole thing about sow a seed of faith. Sow a seed of faith. That baloney is on TV. You want that kind of church? Just put it on TBN. It'll come around full circle. At some point, somebody's going to ask you for a check. You say, well, you have a whole lot of nerve today talking about that. This is Promise Project Sunday. One time a year? Please. You get more mail from the NRA than you get from me. I know I do. Yes, I'm a member of the NRA. Big deal. What's that mean? Don't break into my house. That's what that means. Don't break into my house. It's very simple. That's all that means. Don't break in. I mean, if you're going to steal something, call ahead. Call ahead. I might just give it to you. If you don't, that, I'll give you something else. Yes, in the name of Jesus. the nerve that we have problems with the church saying, here's the vision, will you support it? And get all an attitude and stomp out, oh, I can't believe it. And they go and watch 17 hours of television with a commercial every 15 seconds asking for your money. Sign up for things on the internet. Come on now. Buying junk comes from Amazon just because it popped up on the right side of the screen. Oh, that looks neat. Sit in front of QVC watching somebody, you need this worthless piece of something. There's only three of them left because there was only three of them made. Spend more money on lottery tickets than you do on a promise project. Ooh. I can go up the high G on that one right there. Yeah. You're talking about the church. And this church especially, because every dime that comes into this body goes out into missions. You designate funds for something, that's where it goes. We don't play games with God's money. So there it is. We have a path. We have a purpose. We have a promise. I'd like to go to Brother Ryan's slides. I don't want to watch all of it. I just want to go to the pictures of the map of Florida. Actually, the slides, I don't know if we've got the whole slide set there that has the white map with the little hands and the little churches and that stuff. Ryan, do they have that back there? That's the big one. Good. Keep going to the next slide. That's the cycle that Brother Ryan told you about. Now, pause for just a second. That connect point right there. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. That doesn't happen on a church campus. Look here. That doesn't happen in a SharePoint. That connect point happens at your job. That connect point happens at school. That connect point happens at Publix. That connect point happens at the deli, in the parking lot, at the DMV. God knows you're going to be there 3 hours. Might as well talk to somebody about Jesus. They're all saying Jesus Christ. They're just saying it for the wrong reasons. Might as well say, speaking of Jesus, let me tell you about him. They're like, get away from me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. No. Connect points happen, and that's your individual responsibility walking on that path where other people live, where other people live and walk out of your comfort zone. You make a connect point. Then it goes to SharePoint where you invite them to your weekly gathering. Then it goes to preaching point when that SharePoint begins to gather on a regular basis with a need to have the gospel preached. We go into a preaching point and lives begin to change and be transformed. Then, because that has grown beyond its need and we are now commissioning people from that group. Look, some preaching points will be a preaching point for a year. Some preaching points will be a preaching point for 3 or 4 years. I'm not putting a time clock on it necessarily. I won't go more than four. But I'm not going to say you haven't got people being converted in a year. You're not training people in 2 years. There's different things happening in different places. At about the 4 or 5 year mark, where I've been talking with Bishop Wright about this, and he's given me a fig tree biblical exegesis, if you'll pardon me. He says, this is how we do it. This is how it ought to be done. You can't let a plant continue to move and invest in it like it's a church when it's not a church. We'll talk more about that later. Some preaching points will be preaching points for a longer period of time. Some will be preaching points for a shorter period of time. But they will become a church point when they are commissioning people, not when they're gathering. They've been gathering. We've been gathering since the living room. A gathering is not a church. Well, we got more people. That's not the definition of a church. We're not trying to have better services either. We're doing the opposite of becoming a church service gathering. Because if all you do is improve your Sunday service, you just entertain people. If they're not coming to be commissioned, you don't have a church. Did you hear me? If they're not coming to be discipled and live, we're not trying to gather people up, y'all, and just convert people. That's a preaching point. But when we get to the place of commissioning them and sending them, and they are now deploying, now we're dealing with a church. They're commissioning. Do we have the maps that have the picture of the map? Are we still working on that? Yeah, let's have that ready every day from now until the trumpet of God sounds. I want those maps and those slides ready every time I call for them. We have a picture of the map of the state of Florida. It's white. It's probably in the Leadership Summit presentation slide. And there's in order to have church points, which are going to be in Central Florida, South Volusia. In fact, SharePoints are coming to South Volusia this year. SharePoints coming to South Volusia this year. We're not just going to be in Cape Canaveral and Central Brevard, Brother Darrell. We're moving from Cape Canaveral out towards Merritt Island already. I know you got excited with your testimony, but you didn't share with the people that just a few weeks ago, there's a prayer group in Merritt Island that a couple of the ladies have been coming to church with y'all on Sunday afternoon. The prayer group has asked Brother Darrell to come preach to them in Merritt Island. He came to me, he said, Pastor, I was wondering, in Merritt Island, they've asked me to come preach. I said, go. He said, well, I just wanted to tell you it's going to be. I said, go. He said, they might try to pay. I said, go. It's about time some truth got preached in that prayer group. There it is. Thank you. Let's go to the one with the little tiny green buildings, because we're not going to build tiny green buildings, but there they are. I want you to imagine 3, 4, 5 churches in the north, central, and southern parts of this region. But in order to get those three, to get church points back up to preaching points, you have to have an exponential number of preaching points. Why? Because every preaching point doesn't become a church. But it is worth preaching in. Can I get an amen? Does everybody agree? Everything don't have to become a church. But it's worth preaching to those people. So we need an exponential number of preaching points in order to get church points. But to get preaching points, we need an exponential number of share points. In the city and around the city. And to get an exponential number of share points, we have to have you make connect points. More. This is why you have to step up to a purpose. And not just a pledge. This is why you get the promise of the Father. Not just to escape hell and make it to heaven, but because you have a divine purpose that God has given you.